If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
And this is another edition of the Lightcast on the AboveTopSecret.com network. Welcome to the show. And hi there. This is the Lightseeker coming to you again on episode 3 of the Lightcast for Wednesday, the 25th of July, 2006. And tonight I would just like to spend some time answering some questions that have been expressed on the comments page of my podcast for last week. Several people have expressed some questions, some concerns about some of the aspects of my little crazy conspiracy theory. And so what I'd like to do tonight is try to answer those as best I can. There are three main questions that have been brought up, but specifically I'm thinking of Freedom ERP, who expressed all three of these in his post. So let me just take those one at a time. The first question that was expressed was whether or not President Bush is really smart enough to come up with a plan himself to stay in power after the elections in 2008 and January of 2009, when he's scheduled to leave office after his second term. Well, based on some of the things the man has said over the last 4 years, and some of the strange remarks that he has made, I'm not really certain whether he is smart enough himself to come up with the actual plan, but he has certainly proved himself to be bright enough and clever enough to surround himself with people who would probably be able to come up with some sort of a plan, people who have extensive experience in Washington and know the game of political infighting and dirty tricks very, very, very well. Of course, we all know that he's surrounded by Vice President Dick Cheney and also by his right-hand man, Karl Rove, who some would say is actually the man behind the curtain who's actually pulling all the strings. And then, of course, there's Alberto Gonzalez, the Attorney General, who has been Bush's hatchet man as far as implementing his terrorism policy, and was the man behind the policies that were incorporated into the interrogations and internment policies of the quote-unquote terrorists and detainees who have been held in Guantanamo for the last several years. So these people and people that they know, people who maybe we may not even be aware of, who are behind the scenes, would certainly be able to come up with some kind of a plan to allow him to stay in office after the elections in 2008. And of course, that plan would have to incorporate some kind of very, very, very big and catastrophic event that really resonated across the whole population of the U.S. Something along the lines of 9/11, but I think in this instance it would have to be something even more catastrophic and perverse than that attack, which, of course, just traumatized the whole nation back in 2001. And so, again, I'm not sure that, that Bush himself has actually got the brains or creativity to come up with a plan himself, but he certainly has people around him that can do that and make it happen. The second question that was brought up would be, if this all played out the way that I have imagined it, and of course, my view, my theory is only one of many that have been put out there as to what may happen as far as Bush staying in office after the elections. But the other question that was brought up was, if this actually played out, would the military actually go along with them? Would the Joint Chiefs accept an order from Bush to employ all of their resources, both in materiel and personnel, to maintain the peace and to enforce his rule, his declaration of martial law, amid what would almost certainly have to be a public outcry and rioting, a public uprising that this country has probably not seen since the Civil War. Well, I think that they probably would, and here's my thinking behind that. If Bush comes to the Joint Chiefs before January, when he is due to leave office, in other words, if he were to employ this plan after the elections, but before the first of the year, and he were to sign an executive order to the effect that he was declaring martial law because of this terrible national emergency and threat to national security, and were to notify the Pentagon and the Joint Chiefs that as Commander-in-Chief he was ordering them to actually get out and enforce the peace, enforce his order of martial law, and make sure that that peace was maintained to whatever extent was possible, I think they would be almost duty-bound to obey. After all, the man is still the sitting president. He hasn't left office yet. So I think in that event, they would almost have to obey his order. And I think that all of the subordinate officers and enlisted men would also have to obey. They wouldn't like it probably very much at all, but I think that they would pretty much have to obey him at least until after mid-January, when he was supposed to leave office. And of course, during this time, you can bet your sweet bippy that the Democrats in the House and Senate, as well as probably many of the Republicans in the House and Senate, will be going to the federal courts up to and including the Supreme Court to have it deemed and decreed that what Bush is doing is unconstitutional. But you know, you never can tell what the courts are going to do or what the Supreme Court is going to do. They've been pretty conservative in their rulings over the last several years. Of course, many of the sitting judges, justices on the Supreme Court, are appointees of President Bush and President Reagan. And so I think that if push were to come to shove, that it might be a near thing, but I think that the majority in the Supreme Court would probably side with the president. This would be something that has been unheard of in American politics, to have a president actually outstay his second term in office since the 22nd Amendment was passed and ratified by all the states back in 1951. So, anyway, you know, anything more than that would be, you know, fodder for another show. But I think that answers question number two. And the third question, which is really not really a question, but just I think maybe a misunderstanding on Freedom's part, was that possibly the Constitution actually made provision for Bush doing exactly what we are anticipating, with its provision for him making executive orders and in time of national emergencies and so forth. And of course, there are already executive orders on the books that have been there since 1962, when John F. Kennedy put 12 executive orders in place over the course of about a month during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and of course he did that and made those executive orders in anticipation and provision for a possible nuclear war. But that being said, again, they are still on the books. Once they were recorded in the Federal Register, they basically became law, which means they are available to President Bush to use if he chooses to do so. And the Congress really has no say in the matter if he should choose to do that. And then, of course, with the Directive 51 that he signed in May, which was pretty much the same as the executive order that John Kennedy signed, giving him the power to put all of those executive orders into place should a national emergency or threat to national security, and not even our own national security, but the wording is so vague that it could apply to something happening somewhere else, even Iraq or Afghanistan or Europe, if there was a huge threat to American interests in Baghdad or Kabul or even in Europe by Al-Qaeda or other terrorists. Bush might well think to put those into place and allow himself to stay in office for as long as he chooses to do so. I mean, it would be up to him if he's doing this initially and provisionally, so that he can make sure that order is maintained and that the nation is kept in some type of order while everything plays out, then he could pretty much call his own tune and decide when or if he ever decides he wants to leave office. Eventually, I think that something might happen that would convince him that it might be best for him to leave office, and I'll leave that something to your imaginations. Anyway, that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, and so that's going to do it for another podcast here, another Lightcast for me. Until next week, same time and same channel. This is the Light Seeker, wishing you all a good week, and we'll talk to you soon.